Listen for the words of Scripture as they come to us on this Pentecost Sunday from the second chapter of the book of Acts. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly from heaven there came the sound of a rush, of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were. Divided tongues, as if it looked like fire, appeared on them, and tongues rested upon each of them. And all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them the ability. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. And at this sound, the crowd gathered, and they were bewildered because each one of them heard people speaking in their native language. Amazed and astonished, they asked, "Are not these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear each of us in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, the spirit of all parts of Libya, belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs in their own languages, we hear them speaking about the mighty acts and power of God. And all were amazed and perplexed, and saying to one another, 'What does this mean?' But the others sneered and said, 'They are drunk. They're filled with new wine.' But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them and said, 'Men and women of Judea and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and listen to what I say. And indeed, they are not drunk as you propose, for it is only 9 o'clock in the morning. No, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. In the last days it will be that God declares that I will pour my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even upon the slaves, both men and women in those days, I will pour out my spirit, and they will prophesy. And I will show portents in the heavens and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and smoke in their midst. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the Lord's great and glorious day. Then and evermore, all who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved.'" The word of life. Thanks be to God. My sermon's going to be a little short today. I beg your pardon for that. Most of you will be saying thanks be to God. But I've had a little on my plate this week. Yesterday evening, a friend of mine who is a captain in the military called me to see how Mom's funeral went. And he goes, "Where are you?" And I go, "I'm at work. I came here to get ready for today." And he yelled at me. And I said, "Captain, do you really feel comfortable talking to me that way?" And he goes, "Yeah, because it's time someone did. I guess I was put in my place." I remember it was close to Pentecost 3 years ago, and I was at the Festival of Homiletics. And there was a woman whose name is Nadia Boltz-Weber. She has a church in Denver. And she is probably the most interesting clergy person I have ever met. She was a drug addict, and she met her husband and thought he was kind of cute. Well, her husband happened to be a Lutheran studying for the ministry. And she had to get her act together if she wanted the guy, and she did. When she preaches, she's usually in a tank top. She has tattoos all over her. When she started our service, she said, "God be with you." And of course, we all answered, "And also with you." And she said, "That's Lutheran for sit down and shut up. It's time to start worship." She started a church after she went to seminary herself. She started a church in downtown Denver. And it's a church made of the people that everyone else throws away. Some are street people. Some are transvestites. Some are cross-dressers. Gay kids. Recovering drug addicts. That's her congregation. And she was telling us that she had started this church and they meet on Sunday evenings and it was going well, and then something horrible happened. Suburbanites from Denver started coming to her church. She referred to them as latte drinking, Docker wearing people. And she said, I did not like the fact that normal people were coming to my church. It concerned her. And they kept coming. And they kept coming. She wanted this church of the island of misfit toys. And she started getting normal people, whatever that is. And so she gathered her board together and shared her concern. That she was worried that these normal people were showing up. And one of the kids said to her, I kind of like when they're here because they look like my parents, and my parents kick me out of the house because I'm gay. And they treat me like I'm okay. And Nadia said, you know, I have always tried to create an inclusive church. And yet, I became exclusive. The day of Pentecost is about being inclusive. And clearly, that's the foundation in which this church was built. Now buckle your seatbelts, because you hired me to do this. You hired me to do this. Your words are great. Your words are great, but you kind of suck at it. When it comes to welcoming people, you don't do that well. You love to say, wherever you are on the journey, you're welcome here. And that's what the church is about. But when strangers come in, you ignore them. You're cliquish. I've seen it Sunday after Sunday after Sunday. There was a Sunday in the last 9 months since I've been here when there was a family here, a man and a woman, and they brought five children. Five children. I saw the greeter talking to one of the parishioners, and those people were left by themselves. They drove 45 minutes one way to get to this church, and you ignored them. So this, you want to know how to grow? This is how you do it. You show up early. You all are notoriously lazy on showing up early. I'm sorry, you can show up at work on time. This is worship. This is the house of God. Show up on time. Look around and greet the stranger first. Your friends will wait. Greet the stranger first. Pass the peace of Christ to them. And after worship, invite them to coffee hour and then introduce them to other people. That's all it takes. Those five things. Come early, greet the stranger first. Welcome them during the passing of the peace of Christ. Invite them to coffee hour and introduce them to others. And you will grow. You will grow. One of the parts that I love about this scripture is your young men will see visions and your old men will dream dreams. One of the many, many remarkable things that our conference minister asks of us clergy, and she's the hardest working person I know, she says, teach your churches to dream.
teach your churches to dream. You know the dream that I have for you? I think you have settled and become comfortable where you are, and I'm not going to let that happen while I'm here. I'm not. I believe in that old Harry Truman saying, it's not the size of the dog in the fight, it's the size of the fight in the dog. And I got a lot of fight in me. And I'm not going to let you settle for anything less than what you can do. You're always willing to be the poor step cousin of Mayflower Church. You could be better than Mayflower. Have you thought about that? You could be bigger and better than Mayflower. But you got to do the work. So when you think of inclusion and you think of the church, it's great to have this image, but you got to do the work. So my question to you, church, is, are you willing to step up? It's great to hear, oh, we are welcoming. Everyone's welcome. You don't have to dress up. Come as you are. Everyone's welcome. But my question is, are you really willing to be the church of Pentecost? Or are you willing to settle for second best? And if you're willing to settle for second best, I don't want to be a part of you. Because I know you can do better. I know that you can be more welcoming. I know that we can fill this church with children. I know that we can fill this church with one another. Let me be clear. You are good and kind and loving people. And I have been the recipient of that love more than I deserve. Far more than I deserve. But on this day of Pentecost, I want you to lean into the discomfort because I want you to be your very best. Because clearly you can. Clearly you can. I'm not asking you to do anything you can't do. I'm not. You can do this. And I will be behind you as you do it. Think about it. Pray about it. And then get up and do it. Thanks be to God. Amen.